We're in this series called Along the Pilgrim Pathway, and I am excited today to be talking to you about God's protection. We'll be looking at Psalm 91, and we live in perilous times, and these missionaries know what I'm talking about. You can't travel this world without seeing a whole lot of weaponry and those kind of things. There's a lot of military presence all around the world. Because of so much danger. These are dangerous times. In fact, I've not personally witnessed more dangerous times than the ones we're living in right now. And in the years following the 9/11 attacks on America, the nation developed this organization called Homeland Security. And in very quick manner, they put together this color-coded threat assessment to tell us about the severity of the threat. And they went from green to red, and they had some strange colors in between. And as far as I could tell, though, when I went back to check this out, the threat assessment for the 10-year existence of this tool they had never got below elevated. It was always, you know, pretty serious time. It was replaced 10 years later with a system that was more informative. It kind of went out as bulletins and those kind of things. But the government said, when they came up with this new system, that because of the continual threat, a high threat level is now considered the baseline. In other words, we don't need lights or numbers to tell you things are bad. You just need to know. Be careful. Be aware. And so these are tough times we're living in, and there's no reasonable expectation for us to ever go back to those wonderful, good old Mayberry-like days of the past. Did anybody live in those days? I lived in a Mayberry, by the way. I did. I mean, Enterprise, Alabama was just like that. You know, and kids watch that today and they think that's fiction. No, that was just people being like they were back then. It was just normal. But this world has become a dangerous place, and I believe it will likely remain so until Jesus returns. And it shouldn't surprise us to learn that one of the fastest growing industries in the United States and in the world is security and safety. Home alarms and auto alarms are huge. More people are buying guns and ammo than ever before. One corporate security officer said that the higher levels of preparedness, they did all this training and they learned what they used to focus on was what was going out the gate. Now they're focusing on who comes in the gate. You want to be aware of that. And some try to find a sense of peace in the fact that the government is looking out for us. But with all the efforts, and the government has certainly tried, to provide safety and security for its citizens, our government cannot fully protect us from attack of terrorists or lunatics, or they can't protect us from severe weather or any other kind of natural disaster. They can just come in later and help clean up the mess. Anybody experienced any fear? And fear is not of God, I can tell you that. But I also know that even as Christians, it's difficult not to have some trepidation when you hear about shootings in Orlando and Las Vegas and Sutherland Springs, which was a church in Texas where there was a shooting, Parkland, a school. It's got to make you uneasy, even in Wetumpka, Alabama. Of course, I drove into Montgomery this week, and I don't know what was going on in Montgomery, but I think there was like 15 conventions taking place there. And I am truly an El Moron. I know that I am. I know that I am. Because I was so thankful to get back to Elmore County. I mean, you could tell when you crossed the county line. It was a beautiful thing. The birds started singing. The sun came back out. It was amazing. But, you know, when you go into all that humanity down there, you don't know who is there. You don't know who's in that car or vehicle nearby, or who's eating lunch nearby you. You don't know those things. But, you know, in the last year we've had riots in France and Honduras and social unrest in St. Louis and in Charlottesville. And I mean, it's got to give you some concern here in Alabama that something's not doing too right. But I can tell you there's really no need to fret, because God has your back. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God has your back. He will take care of you. The creator of the universe is looking out for you. He's on your side. Psalm 118:6 says, "The Lord is for me." I like that. "So I will have no fear." What can mere people do to me? The Lord is for me. He is for you. I want you to say that. The Lord is for me. He absolutely is, so you don't need to have fear. And I can tell you, Joyce and I have been in some pretty frightening experiences from time to time. We've been in some predicaments. It was almost I Love Lucy worthy type stuff. And you old folks will know what I'm talking about there. The young people go, what's that? But it's one of those situations where you get into this predicament and you knew better, but here you are and you got to face this danger anyway and make it through it. But every time we discovered that the protecting presence of God was with us. And we found that out. It's a wonderful feeling to know that God is my protector. Jesus said in John 28 in the Message, I give them real and eternal life. That's that real life we're talking about. They are protected from the destroyer for good. Listen to that. You are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal them from out of my hand. No one. No one. When Christ takes you in, he takes you in to protect you. Last week I shared some things that you could do to ensure God's provision for your life. There are certain things you can do that will also help you enjoy God's protection. And some of these things are found in the chapter of the Bible that's favored of those who want to be reminded of God's protection. It's Psalm 91. It says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you. Just open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. If you make the Lord your refuge, if you make the Most High your shelter, no evil will conquer you. No plague will come near your home. For he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You will trample upon lions and cobras. You will crush fierce lions and serpents under your feet. The Lord says, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who trust in my name. When they call on me, I will answer. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue and honor them. I will reward them with a long life and give them my salvation. Praise God. Lord God, we thank you for this powerful word from the Lord today. We thank you, Almighty God, that this word can go forth and bring a harvest of peace and tranquility and confidence of your protecting power. Lord, do a work in every heart. Let your word produce a beautiful work in every heart in this room. In your mighty name we pray, Lord. Amen. So this passage recommends some things that Christians can do to ensure God's protecting power and presence in their life. And the first thing is live in God's presence. Verses 1 and 9 tell us to live in God's presence. And living in Elmore County will not necessarily ensure your safety. I mean, I think it's safer than most places, but it's not going to ensure that. But living in God's presence will. Tom White summed this up well. He said, our safe place is not where we live, it's in whom we live. Do you remember that Greek phrase from a couple weeks ago, coram Deo? It literally means living in the presence of God. Coram Deo, living in the presence of God. And so I want to ask that question I asked a couple weeks ago. Are you living in the presence of God? Or ask somebody nearby, are you Coram Deo? No, I'm Grady Russell. Yes, I am Coram Deo. But sadly, a lot of believers tend to stray far from the protecting presence of God. It's just like the prodigal son. many believers like that are more interested in the pleasures of sin than they are the protection of God. They desire a future salvation. They hope for a better eternity, but they crave this world and all the things it has to offer instead of that. So my recommendation would be for them to come to their senses, because these are troubled times. You're not going to survive these terrible days outside the protecting presence of God. If you want to see how troubled times they are, how difficult these times are that we live in, go sit in the courthouse for a day or two. Just go to court for a day or two and see all the trouble and turmoil and strife that is taking place, even here in Elmore County. You'll not survive these terrible days outside that beautiful protecting presence of God. If you strayed outside the presence of God, there's good news for you. Charles Stanley reminds us that when we stray from His presence, He longs for you to come back. He weeps that you are missing out on His love, protection, and provision. And He throws His arms around you, runs towards you, gathers you up, and welcomes you home. See, the story of the prodigal son is about the son, but it's mostly about the love of the father who rushes out to just pour His love on His son. So there's always a place for you in the Father's protecting presence. No matter where you've been, no matter how bad you've been, no matter what you've done wrong, all you have to do is come back to the Father, and He pours His love and grace and mercy and protection out upon you. There's always a place. So come home. Come home to God and live in His protecting presence. Because number two, love God. Love God. This is the greatest commandment of God. When they asked Jesus, what about the commandments? Primary, love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Why does God command that we love Him? Because we know we're all profoundly affected and afflicted by sin. And I can sum this all up by the story of Cain. It's a clear example of what it means to love God or love yourself. See, Cain did two things wrong. He worshipped according to his own desires instead of God's desires and demands. And then he murdered his brother. So those commands, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor or your brother as yourself, he broke both of them. See, he believed he could mix his desires with God's demands. There's a lot of people in a lot of churches today who believe that too. That I can live like I want to, and God will take care of me. The reality is, God places some demands, and loving Him is at the top of His demands. You see, this attitude of Cain is alive and well today on planet Earth. Cain and generation after generation of mankind seek to blend God's demands with their own desires. And this cannot be. There's a word for this. It's called syncretism. This diffusing of religious beliefs and practices. But if you want your own way, go to Burger King. But if you want to please God, you must worship God on His terms. When you truly love God, your desires are set aside, and God's demands are honored. Paul addressed the Romans regarding this attitude of Cain. And in the very first chapter of Romans, he called out the sin that had filled the hearts and lives of far too many Romans. They love themselves and their pleasures more than they love God. And Paul concluded in Romans, and in your notes, or verses 25 through 32, I'm going to leave some of these out because there are young ears here, but you can read that for yourself. But it says, they traded the truth about God for a lie. They traded the truth about God for a lie, so they worshipped and served the things God created instead of the Creator Himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. See, he goes on in verse 31, says, they refuse to understand, break their promises, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them. That's a problem with God. It's bad enough that you do things that don't please God. It's worse that you encourage other people to do the same thing. When you exchange the love of God for the love of self, the result is total depravity and wickedness. Oh, it may not start out that way, but that's how it ends up. Satan knows this well. That's why he's continually working to convince Christians to compromise their faith just a little. Give in just a little. Go along with the crowd just this one time. And I'm here to tell you today that is a lie from hell. Do not compromise your faith in Jesus Christ. Do not compromise Jesus Christ as your Lord, and do not compromise loving Him above all else with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Give Him everything, and then love your neighbor too. If you love God, you will love other people. God puts that love in us. Stay as close to God as possible. Someone said the closer we walk to the shepherd, the farther we are from the wolf. Let's walk close to Jesus. I say amen to that. Do you? So live in God's presence. Love God. And number three, trust God. Verse 2 says, trust God. Trust God. It's a sad fact here in North America today that our currency literally says, in God we trust. But the actions of many in our nation prove that their trust is in anything but God. Some people trust science. A scientist died this year. And whatever he said, or he died this week, last week, whatever he said, people took it as fact. Because he's a mighty scientist. He's a brilliant mind. But he was an atheist. He did not believe in God. And I pray that hopefully he found God before he entered eternity. Some trust society as if those around us will pick up the difference and make up society is flawed. Some trust government. Some trust no one, especially God. I've had people say, I'm not trusting God. He never comes through for me. Let me back up just in case lightning strikes. But I agree with King David. He said in Psalm 20, verse 7, some nations boast of or trust their chariots and horses, but we boast, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. In other words, we trust God so much, we're proud of it. We brag about it. My God will see me through. My God is the answer. So who or what do you trust the most? If God is not at the top of your list of trust, it's time to get a new list. C.H. Spurgeon shines a powerful light on this truth. He says, I cannot make myself a refuge, but Jesus has provided it. His Father has given it. His Spirit has revealed it. And lo, again tonight I enter it and am safe from every foe. I love the presence of God. Trust Him. And if you trust Him, the next thing you can do to assure God's protection goes hand in hand with trust. It is to just acknowledge His name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Again, Psalm 20. Some nations boast, the chariots and the horses, but we boast, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. It is the name of the Lord that we're to trust and acknowledge. We're to tell other people. We're to make it clear. I'm going to make it through this because of Jesus. I'm not going to make it through this because of how often I read the Bible or how much I pray or how I live my life, how good I am. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to boast in Jesus, and I'm going to trust in Him, and I'm going to declare that it's not my faith, it's Jesus who's doing it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Some of the most exhaustive studies of the Bible are studies of the name of God, the names of God. God gave Himself all these names so that we would understand His nature, His character, the amazing things that He can do. He's an amazing God. And we have to take kind of some of these things that He does one step at a time. But I'm telling you, His name is powerful. There's no more powerful name on earth than the name Jesus. If you want to learn more about God, learn more about His names. God wants you to do more than have His name in you. God wants you in His name. Solomon said, the name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The godly run to Him and are safe. He wants you in His name. R.J. Morgan tells a powerful story, and it brilliantly illustrates this verse. Martin Niemöller was born on January the 14th, 1892, in Lippstadt, Westphalia, an area of Germany. After serving as a German submarine commander during World War I, he studied theology in Münster and was ordained a minister of the church in Westphalia in 1924. He watched with growing concern the developing Nazi movement and the anti-Semitic rhetoric of Adolf Hitler. In 1934, Hitler summoned Niemöller, along with other German church leaders, to his Berlin office to berate them for insufficiently supporting his programs. Niemöller explained that he was concerned only for the welfare of the church and of the German people. And Hitler snapped, "You confine yourself to the church. I'll take care of the German people." And we fought Hitler for that, but I'm here to tell you, many times government, even in the United States, wants to tell the church that. Take care of the church, we'll take care of the people. As the meeting was breaking up, Niemöller fired his final shot. He said, "You said to Hitler, you said, I will take care of the German people, but we too, as Christians and churchmen, have a responsibility to the German people. That responsibility was entrusted to us by God, and neither you nor anyone in this world has a power to take it from us." Hitler listened in stony silence, but that evening his Gestapo raided Niemöller's rectory, and a few days later a bomb exploded in his church. During the months and years that followed, he was closely watched by the secret police, and in June 1937, he preached these words to his church: "We have no more thought of using our own powers to escape the arm of the authorities than had the apostles of old. We must obey God rather than man." He was soon arrested and placed in solitary confinement. His trial took place on February 7, 1938. That morning, a green uniformed guard escorted the minister from his prison cell and through a series of underground passages toward the courtroom. Niemöller was overcome with terror and loneliness. What was to become of him? What of his family? What of his church? What torture awaited them all? The guard's face was impassive, and he was as silent as a stone. But as they exited the tunnel to ascend a final flight of stairs, Niemöller heard a slight whisper. At first, he thought he didn't know where it came from, for the voice was as soft as a sigh. Then he realized that the officer was breathing into his ear the words of Proverbs 18:10. "The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. The righteous run to Him and are safe." Niemöller gave no sign of hearing those words. But from that moment, his fear was gone, replaced by an indescribable peace and an assurance that never left him. Even during the next 7 years of suffering, even through his darkest day in Dachau prison. Hear me today. In your most difficult days, trust God and acknowledge His mighty name. The final directive is in verse 15 of our text, and it is call upon His name. I think that's where a lot of Christians come short. All these other things ring true in their lives, but somehow they just neglect that. So let's go back to rebellious Cain. He refused to worship God as God required. Cain, the murderer who loved himself more than anything else, including God, was still in this world. He didn't die. He's still in this world. And his lineage was against God. And his lineage was against the followers of God. In Genesis 4, that tells us that Adam and Eve had another son. His name was Seth. And in verse 26, when Seth grew up, he had a son and named him Enosh. And it says, at that time, people first began to worship or call upon the Lord by name. They called God by name. Why did men begin to worship or call upon the name of the Lord at this time? I wondered about that myself and started to do a little bit of a study. And And if you study names, it tells you a lot. Enosh means frail, mortal, or weak man. See, Cain was a strong oppressor. His nephew Enosh was a frail man and easily oppressed. So what do frail people who are easily oppressed do? When evil men abound, they do exactly what Enosh did. They start calling upon the name of the Lord. You see, God is bigger than the boogeyman. He is. He's bigger than Godzilla and the monsters on TV. God is bigger than the boogeyman, and He's looking out for you and me. I learned that from some vegetables. But that's a powerful truth, isn't it? Some of y'all need to start watching some vegetables. They can teach you a lot. Enosh called upon the name of the Lord. And Enosh had children. And in his lineage came a man named Noah, a good name. And Noah and his family were saved. And that weak, frail Enosh, his lineage continues. But that strong oppressor Cain and all of his family died in the flood. The difference was one of them called upon the name of the Lord. This kind of stares in the face of that old adage, only the strong survive. That idea of survival of the fittest. I believe the truth is those who put their trust in the strong name of God are the ones who survive. The family that calls upon the name of the Lord. Often it is only in our weakness and our frailty that we begin to call upon the Lord. Am I right? We should call upon the name of the Lord at all times and in all conditions. So a question for you today is, are you calling upon the name of the Lord? If you call upon this name, He'll answer. If you need His protection, just ask. And the Lord wants to protect you. Jesus told His disciples in Luke 21 that they would see some very difficult times. And their future was really not going to be a pleasant thing. But He said in verse 18, I love this, not a hair of your head will perish. In Jesus' name. I claim that passage right there. Yep. Some of you are going like this. Seriously. God gave us Psalm 91 to remind us of His great protecting presence. So are you doing everything in your ability to avail yourself of God's protecting presence? Final question. Is Jesus your protector? Is He your protector? You know, I'm thankful that even though we're out here in the country, we have a good security team. We have good systems in place to provide security and safety. I've shared with our leadership teams several times in the past and asked the question, what's the most important thing we can do for the people who come and attend our services and activities and events? And most of the time, a good answer is souls. We want to see souls saved. We want to see lives changed. And that's absolutely the truth. But if we fail on security, we can't do that. If we fail on safety, we can't do that. That's why I'm so thrilled that we have such good things in place to look out for us. And we got the most beautiful nursery workers. And I call them angels, nursery angels, because they're just so wonderful. And the kids love them, and they love kids. And that's a wonderful thing. And so you can trust that they'll do all they can to take care of your children when you bring them in. And you can look to that. But I'm here to tell you, we got a protector that's bigger than anything. He's amazing. I agree with Bernadette Devlin. She said, the will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God and the protection of God will not protect you. I'm thankful for God's incredible protection in my life. Is God protecting you? Are you thankful for his protection? I mean, he's looking out for you. And so I want to issue a challenge. I want to do it this way. For the next week, tonight through next Saturday, I'm going to ask you to get Psalm 91. Pick your version, whichever one you want. Today we read out of the New Living Translation. That seems to fit how we talk here in Elmore County, and it works for me. It works. It may not work for you, but it really works for me and helps me do a better job. But find a version that works for you, and I want you to read it every day for yourself. And then I want you to pray it over yourself. In other words, I've done this for Stephen, and I want to pray for Stephen. When are you leaving to go to Tuesday? Well, before we leave, we're going to pray over you. Stephen's going off to basic training, and he'll be gone like forever. It'll seem that way to you. And then, but you know, we'll turn around in a week or so, and he'll be back. But for him, it's a long thing, and several weeks, and we want to pray for him. And pray God's protecting power and God's grace and ability. We don't want to do that. But I've actually done this over Stephen before. I don't know if you remember that. We had a prayer time, and I prayed Psalm 91 over him. And I want to challenge all of you to do the same thing. In fact, you may have a circumstance that is coming against you, something that's not right that you're concerned about. And I'm going to ask you literally to think about that situation and that circumstance, and then I want you to pray Psalm 91 over yourself. And then just trust the words. Pray them over it and trust them. Accept these words that you pray as if they're spoken directly to you and to that current circumstance. Trust them because they're true. If they were true then when they were written, they're true today as we look at them again. That's the beautiful word of God. And it's so comforting to know God as protector. I don't know how a family could go to Indonesia without knowing Jesus Christ as their protector. Mitch, our Mitch Riles, was telling some of the men who were considering going on a MAPS trip, they were a little nervous about getting on an airplane and going to another country they'd never been to. We've had guys take their first airplane flight with the MAPS team, and we did everything we could to make them nervous. We really helped them through it. But Mitch told them, Grady will take care of you. And I quickly said, God will take care of us, because I'm not good at that. Apparently Mitch thinks so, but see, he's kind of misconstrued God in a sense. It all goes well because God is with us, and since I'm the leader, he gives me the credit. Thank you, Mitch, for the credit. But the reality is the credit goes to God because he protects us. No matter how difficult the journey, how treacherous your path or your situation, no matter how frail you may seem, when we were talking about Enosh earlier, you might have said, that's me. He's talking about me. No matter how frail or how weak you seem, you got to understand God is your protector. Jesus Christ, you can acknowledge his name. So would you bow your heads right now? If there's someone in the room who'd say, Pastor, I want God to be my protector. And I've got a situation in my life. I need him to be my protector. Raise your hand. Just all over the room. Let me see. Yes, I knew it would be. I knew it would be. These times make this life we live difficult. God is looking out for us. So here's what I want to do. I want to pray this prayer over you. If you will receive this prayer, just raise your hand as I pray this prayer over you. Because you have chosen to live in the shelter of the Most High, you will find rest in the shadow of our Almighty God. This I declare over you about the Lord. He is your sole refuge. He is your place of safety. He is your God, and you can trust him, for your God will rescue from every trap. Yes, that trap that has got you concern. He will protect you from every deadly disease. Cancer must give way to my protector. He will cover you with his feathers. He will shelter you with his wings. His promises are your armor. His promises are your protection. Don't be afraid of anything that may cause you terror in the night. And don't worry about when people shoot arrows your way in the daytime. Don't dread the disease that so many people dread, or anything that stalks you in the darkness, or anything that strikes at midday. You don't have to worry, because even if 1,000 fall beside you, or 10,000 are dying all around you, even if the medicines fail, even if the doctors are beyond their ability, we are here to tell you these evils will not touch you. Open your eyes and see how the wicked are punished. Make the Lord, the name of the Lord, the strong tower of your life, and run to Him for refuge. Let Him be your shelter so that no evil can conquer you. And I declare that no plague will come near your home, because the Lord of heaven's armies Himself will order His angels to protect you wherever you go. Even if the problem is your own fault, even if you cause the trouble, I'm here to tell you that when you run to the name of the Lord, I declare and I decree over you that His name will be exalted and you will be delivered. The order of the angels will hold you up with their hands, and you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You'll trample on lions and cobras. You're going to do amazing things. The enemy will be crushed under your feet as you give glory to your Almighty God. God Himself, Jesus Christ, declares over you, I will rescue you from even this because you love me. I will protect you because you trust in my name. So call upon the name of the Lord. He will be with you, even in your trouble. The Lord Himself, Jesus Christ, the one who suffered on the cross and gave His life for you, is here to rescue you, and He will lift you up and honor you because of your trust in Him, and reward you with a long life and give you His salvation. I declare it in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise Almighty God. Praise Almighty God.